Away in the inky depths of space, invisible movements were being made. Invisible to any of the inhabitants of the strange and temperamental plural zone, at the focus of which lay the infinitely multitudinous possibilities of the planet called Earth, but not inconsequential to them. At the very edge of the solar system, hunkered down on a green leatherette sofa, staring fretfully at a range of TV and computer screens, sat a very worried Grebulon leader. He was fiddling with stuff. Fiddling with his book on astrology. Fiddling with the console of his computer. Fiddling with the displays being fed through to him constantly from all of the Grebulon's monitoring devices, all of them focused on the planet Earth. He was distressed. Their mission was to monitor, but to monitor secretly. He was a bit fed up with his mission, to be honest. He was fairly certain that his mission must have been to do more than sit around watching TV for years on end. They certainly had a lot of other equipment with them that must have had some purpose, if only they hadn't accidentally lost all trace of their purpose. He needed a sense of purpose in life, which was why he had turned to astrology to fill the yawning gulf that existed in the middle of his mind and soul. That would tell him something, surely. Well, it was telling him something. It was telling him, as far as he could make out, that he was about to have a very bad month, that things were going to go from bad to worse if he didn't get a grip on things and start making some positive moves and thinking things out for himself. It was true. It was very clear from his star chart, which he had worked out using his astrology book and the computer program which that nice Tricia McMillan had designed for him to re-triangulate all the appropriate astronomical data. Earth-based astrology had to be entirely recalculated to yield results that were meaningful to the Grebulons here on the 10th planet out, on the frozen edges of the solar system. The recalculations showed absolutely clearly and unambiguously that he was going to have a very bad month indeed, starting with today. Because today, Earth was starting to rise into Capricorn, and that, for the Grebulon leader, who showed all the character signs of being a classic Taurus, was very bad indeed. Now was the time, his horoscope said, for taking positive actions, making tough decisions, seeing what needed to be done, and doing it. This was all very difficult for him, but he knew that nobody ever said that doing tough stuff wasn't tough. The computer was already tracking and predicting the second-by-second location of the planet Earth. He ordered the great grey turrets to swivel. Because all of the Grebulon surveillance equipment was focused on the planet Earth, it failed to spot that there was now another source of data in the solar system. Its chances of spotting this other source of data, a massive yellow constructor ship, accidentally, were practically nil. It was as far from the sun as Rupert was, but almost diametrically opposite, almost hidden by the sun. Almost. The massive yellow constructor ship wanted to be able to monitor events on Planet 10 without being spotted itself. It had managed this very successfully. There were all sorts of other ways in which this ship was diametrically opposite to the Grebulons. Its leader, its captain, had a very clear idea of what his purpose was. It was a very simple and plain one, and he had been pursuing it in his simple, plain way for a considerable period of time now. Anyone who knew of his purpose might have said that it was a pointless and ugly one, that it wasn't the sort of purpose that enhanced a life, put a spring in a person's step, made birds sing and flowers bloom. Rather the reverse, in fact. Absolutely the reverse. It wasn't his job to worry about that, though. It was his job to do his job, which was to do his job. If that led to a certain narrowness of vision and circularity of thought, then it wasn't his job to worry about such things. Any such things that came his way were referred to others, who had, in turn, other people to refer such things to. Many, many light years from here, indeed from anywhere, lies the grim and long-abandoned planet, Vogsphere. Somewhere on a fetid, fog-bound mud bank on this planet, there stands, surrounded by the dirty, broken and empty carapaces of the last few jewelled scuttling crabs, a small stone monument which marks the place where, it is thought, the species Vogon vogonblurtus first arose. On the monument there is carved an arrow which points away into the fog, under which are inscribed in plain, simple letters the words, "The buck stops there." Deep in the bowels of his unsightly yellow ship, the Vogon captain grunted as he reached for a slightly faded and dog-eared piece of paper that lay in front of him, a demolition order. If you were to unravel exactly where the captain's job, which was to do his job, which was to do his job, actually began, then it all came down at last to this piece of paper that had been issued to him by his immediate superior long ago. The piece of paper had an instruction on it, and his purpose was to carry out that instruction and put a little tick mark in the adjacent box when he had carried it out. He had carried out the instruction once before, but a number of troublesome circumstances had prevented him from being able to put the tick in the little box. One of the troublesome circumstances was the plural nature of this galactic sector, where the possible continually interfered with the probable. Simple demolition didn't get you any further than pushing down a bubble under a badly hung strip of wallpaper. Anything you demolished kept on popping up again. That would soon be taken care of. Another was a small bunch of people who continually refused to be where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. That also would soon be taken care of. The third was an irritating and anarchic little device called the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That was now well and truly taken care of, and, in fact, through the phenomenal power of temporal reverse engineering, it was now itself the agency through which everything else would be taken care of. The captain had merely come to watch the final act of this drama. He himself did not have to lift a finger.
"Show me," he said.
The shadowy shape of a bird spread its wings and rose into the air near him. Darkness engulfed the bridge. Dim lights danced briefly in the black eyes of the bird as, deep in its instructional address space, bracket after bracket was finally closing, if clauses were finally ending, repeat loops halting, recursive functions calling themselves for the last few times. A brilliant vision lit up in the darkness, a watery blue and green vision, a tube flowing through the air, shaped like a chopped-up string of sausages. With a flatulent noise of satisfaction, the Vogon captain sat back to watch.